Psalm 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou dost know when I sit down, when I rise up. Thou dost understand my thought from afar. Thou dost scrutinize my path and my lying down, and art intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, thou dost know it all. Thou hast enclosed me behind before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from thy spirit, or where can I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there thy hand will lead me, and thy right hand will lay a hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night. Even the darkness is not bright to thee, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to thee. For thou didst form my inward parts, thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book were all written the days that were ordained for me, yet as when there was not one of them. How precious also are thy thoughts to me, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Oh, that thou wouldest slay the wicked, O God! Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate thee, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against thee? I hate them with the utmost hatred. They have become my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Amen. Psalm 139 could very well be considered one of David's greatest psalms. And, you know, probably Psalm 139 and Psalm 23 are probably the most quoted psalms of David in the church and even outside the church. And Psalm 139 deals with two important aspects about God. The first one is his omniscience. And he starts off in the beginning to share about that God really knows everything. There's a couple of really interesting parts here. At the end of verse 2, it says, thou dost understand my thought from afar. Now, I want to tell you the connotation of that is that, without sounding rude, if your thoughts are not very good, God's going to leave you afar, okay? It's kind of the idea, right? It's almost like in the same way where he talks about pride, and he says pride he sees from afar, you know? And the idea is if there is pride there, not only is it, but he's going to leave you afar. Like, you're not going to get any closer to God. And so that's kind of the connotation through this passage, you know, and obviously this is not, you know, this is not supposed to be a condemning word, you know, for us. And he says, you scrutinize my path and my lying down. You are intimately acquainted with all my ways. You know, this little bit of the verse is actually quite meaningful to me, especially when I first came to understand Christ and who he was. And I think a big thing for me, you know, I'm very, I mean, if you kind of know me for these ways, you know, I think I'm a very rational person, you know, and I'm one of those guys that, you know, in the beginning of the whole faith journey is, in order for me to believe it, I got to see it. You know, I want empirical evidence, you know, that God is God and you know, and all these kind of things. And so, so it's kind of the way my mind works. And it wasn't until, you know, I had some encounters with God where I just couldn't deny his existence, you know. And it wasn't like any crazy thing, you know, like I didn't see a miracle or anything like that. But it became very clear to me that God knew exactly who I was, you know. And very clear to me that not only did he know who I was, he accepted who I was. You know, and there are a few instances that happen, actually, you know, crazy enough, it actually happened in Hong Kong and in China, you know, when I was here in the summer of 1992, right after I got saved, you know, and a few things happened, basically, you know, without rehashing the whole story, basically, you know, God showed himself to me, and then I immediately doubted it, You know, at first I was really happy. Wow, you know, this is something happened, right? And then, you know, gosh, I would say in about an hour and a half later, you know, I'd be like, nah, that wasn't God. You know, there's no way God didn't do that kind of stuff. You know, it's kind of like, who do I think I am? I'm not Moses, you know. That's not the way this whole thing works. And then he comes right back and he expresses himself to me again. You know, and so in one side, he knows how my brain works. And so he reveals himself to me in that way. And then he really knows how my brain works because he knows I'm going to doubt him right afterwards and deny what he just did. And then he brings someone along, you know, to reconfirm, you know, what just happened to me. And that happened over the course of about a week. It happened to me twice, you know, and I just couldn't deny. And I realized, Lord, you are truly intimately aware of my ways. Like, you really understand how I think. You know, you really understand, you know, how I work, you know, and not only in that, you don't reject me, and you go out of your way to reveal yourself to me. You know, I want to tell you guys, right? God really does know us. You know, he really, really does understand us. You know, and he works through our fears. He works through our doubts. You know, he works through our negative stuff, you know, in many ways to really bring himself into the picture, to really reveal truth to us, you know, and, you know, God's got his timing to do that in each one of our lives. And David is, you know, that's what he's saying. He says, Lord, even before I even say a word, you already know what's on my tongue. You know, even, you know, before any of these things can happen, Lord, you know it all. You know, you know everything about me. You know, and the beauty of this passage is that he knows, right? And he still accepts. It's like Jesus, you know, with the disciples, you know, Dr. Kraft kept saying they're the keystone cops of the New Testament, right? You know, Jesus is going into, you know, John 17 and he's, you know, and he's speaking to these guys that are basically going to abandon him. Every single one of them going to abandon him. But he still speaks truth. He still speaks life. And he even gives them a nod and says, Peter, you know, after you fall, you know, lift your brothers up, you know, like take care of, you know. And he chose them even before, you know. And it's amazing because it's not necessarily just in the choosing, but understanding the frailty of his disciples, right? And he taught them anyway. Right? That's how God operates in our lives. And then we get into his omnipresence, you know, and David is saying, where can I go? Where can I flee from your presence? Lord, you are everywhere. And I want to tell you, right, this is, let me just throw some stuff to you, okay? If you really understood this, you would live a holy life. Point blank, right? If we really grasp, right, this attitude that God is omnipresent, you know, that as you're sitting, you know, actually, no one's sitting next to each other right now, right? So it's good, we got space, but as surely as you know, you're sitting there, Jesus Christ is right next to you right now, you know, and you know, when we understand the reality of that, I mean, that's not to scare us into living a holy life. You know, but it's to encourage us to understand that, man, God, you're right next to me. You know, one of the best books I've ever read in my whole life, you know, and I recommend every Christian should read this book. You know, it's a book by a guy named Brother Lawrence, and he wrote the book, The Practice of the Presence of God. You know, and, you know, I've talked about this book many times, but he's basically, you know, a monk, and he is in a monastery, and he is assigned to wash dishes, right? He's basically washing pots and pans. And in the story, he's basically washing pots and pans, and his other brothers are in the monastery, you know, doing their Gregorian chants, you know, and praying and all these things. And he used to be quite bitter. Why am I washing pots and pans here? I should be doing more spiritual work, you know. And when it came down to it, the Lord really began to speak to him through washing pots and pans. And he began to recognize that God was always with him. God is with him as much as in the kitchen washing pots and pans as he is in the chapel, you know, chanting and singing songs and worshiping and studying the Bible. And when he began to understand that God is everywhere, wherever he is, God is there with him, he lived with so much joy in his life. You know, I mean, this was the happiest kitchen cook, you know, dishwasher in the world. And he was known by his joy. You know, that's really what his trademark was, Brother Lawrence. You know, and he was known simply because he practiced the presence of God. You know, he just knew that no matter what he was doing, the presence of God was with him and thus could fill his life with so much joy. And whatever he was doing, he could do it unto the Lord. He didn't need to be in church. You know, he didn't need to be praying, you know, so to speak, you know. And then God was pleased with him, you know, cleaning pots and pans as he was if he was doing a 40-day fast, right? To him, there was no difference. You know, and he really recognized that, and it revolutionized his life. The book is like this thin. You could literally read it in an hour, in one sitting. Well, actually, it takes a little while because it's quite deep, you know. But, I mean, it's a fairly quick read, you know. And, I mean, it's just amazing, you know. And David understands this, you know, that he was everywhere. And then he makes an aside. He says, even... Right, so understand David's train of thought. He says, God is everywhere. Even before I was even born, God was there. And this is a part, now this is where he puts omniscience and omnipresence kind of comes together, if you follow along with me. He says, not only was he there, he formed me. You know, all he put everything together, right, in his wisdom and his knowledge. He was there, but he wasn't just a casual observer, right? He was there and he was forming me and he made me, you know, he made my in the inward parts. And this is, you know, Dr. Kraft talked about this when he does the whole going back to the womb exercise, you know, that God was the one that was forming us and putting us together, and, you know, which should really, you know, help us a lot next time we look in the mirror, you know, or don't like anything about ourselves. You're not just saying you're fat or, you know, you're this, you're that. You're actually saying, God, I think you made a mistake, you know, which is a huge other thing, you know, that you don't want to make that mistake of saying, right, and things. So he comes and he brings to put this together, and then he comes with a conclusion at the end of this thing. Right, so he's saying basically, okay, Lord, you did it right, you know, you made me, yeah, everything is good, and so that he concludes by saying, God, you know, search me and try me, you know, lead me in an everlasting path. He's saying basically, God, I don't really trust myself, you know, yes, I'm filled with this wonderful knowledge that you're everywhere and you form me and, you know, and you're you know my thoughts and all these things. Yes, that's great about you. But when it comes to me, God, you know, I need a little bit of help. And so would you search me and try me and see if there's anything inside of me, you know, that's not right, that's hurtful. And then he says, and then lead me in the everlasting way. And so he brings an application for us. You know, it's not just about, wow, God, whoa, you're everywhere. Whoa, that's so cool, you know. God, wow, you're omniscient. Wow, that's awesome, you know. You know everything. And then he's saying, God, I want to walk in the fullness of that. And so, God, would you just help me? All right, search me and just try me. If there's anything hurtful in me, and then lead me in the everlasting way. You know, in other words, let me live the reality of this knowledge of your presence in my life, and just help me, Lord. I love this psalm. It's just so honest, you know. It's just so down to earth in many ways. So let's close our eyes today. If you haven't figured out yet, I'm going through the psalms in our morning prayers after we finish Luke. And I just want to touch on just kind of one thing. And of course, you can latch on to many different things. But going back to this whole idea of practicing his presence. When you feel tired and beat down and alone, you're not. Because He's with you. When you're tempted to feel sorry for yourself and feel like no one cares, that's not the truth. Because He's there with you. When you feel weak, He's the strength that can lift you up. When you feel lost, He is the way. And so this morning, we're just going to pray, especially that God's presence would come. When I mean by God's presence, I don't mean God as a casual observer just watching us. We're asking for His manifest presence. We're saying, God, we know You're everywhere, but Lord, manifest that presence so I can see You, feel You, touch You with my senses and with all of my heart that I know that You're here. Right? Don't merely stand from afar, God, and observe. Manifest that presence into our lives. And so as Samantha leads us, let's pray that for ourselves.
There in my working. everything, be my everything, be my everything, be my everything.
Just a few points as we pray together. Let's pray for our training tonight. Let's pray that God will just continue to minister through Dr. Kraft and Judy. And tonight we're actually getting into some of the fun stuff. We're going to have a clinic time. And I believe Ashley and Janie are getting prayed for in two separate areas. And so let's pray for them as well, that real significant ministry would happen, and that we would really learn as well as we watch and observe. And really, God would give us tools that we would be trained as well in that. So let's pray for tonight. We have a bunch of house churches meeting tonight. Let's pray for McDonald Road House Church and Tregunter, Causeway Bay, Kowloon, and Robinson Road. Let's ask God to touch each of these house churches, that our people would be compelled to go by the Spirit of God, and they would find a community, and ask the Lord to bless the leaders as well as they minister. So I know some of the leaders are actually in training, and so pray that people that are stepping into that role would really not be afraid, and really would lead with such confidence and such grace. So let's just cover tonight. Let's pray for our building and our building search and our building fund, and ask God to continue to move upon us. Pray for our steering committee and the leaders that are very busily working, trying to get things done. Especially let's pray for our fundraising team, as you know, a lot of new ideas are coming in. We need to really implement a lot of things in these next few weeks. And let's just ask God's grace and protection over each one of the members there. So let's pray. Going back to what we talked about in the beginning of just the presence of God, I don't know, Sam, maybe you can lead us in a few more songs, and you know, let's just worship along. You know, I find in my own life that, you know, one of the most strategic things that I can do to get into God's presence is to worship. And so Sam just leads us. I mean, you can sing along with her, you can sing your own song, you know, whatever, but you know, let's really seek God's face this morning, and then, you know, at any time you can just go off into your own prayer time, and you're dismissed to go afterwards. And have a great morning today, and let's just invoke God's presence in our lives this morning.
Christ in me, the hope of glory.